What's up? It's your boy, the Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
99.9 KISW. We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, what was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-ROCK.
We had a guy just called and said, oddly, they have a family tradition that boys in the family get circumcised at age 10, and basically it sucked about as bad as you think it would. So that has gotten some reaction. It says, I was circumcised at 3 due to complications. I still have horrible memories about it. Yeah. I almost didn't want to do it to my son because, oh my God, at 10, I can't imagine that's so effed up. Someone else says, my coworker's 13-year-old son last year got the tip snipped and was in crippling pain for hours afterwards. Let's see. Someone else. I was in the room and held my son's legs during a circumcision at 2 weeks old. I am scarred for life. Then as far as other things that brought pain, it says, Ola, tattoo on my stomach. The outline was fine, but the color, that was all hell. It took like 3 hours, including breaks. For me, man, it was the ribs, and it was the outline, not the color. I cannot explain. And the thing is, I did one side of the rib cage first, right? And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my God. This is unbelievable. And I have a ton of tattoos, but these, to me, they far and away, the most painful. Well, about a year and a half goes by, I get another idea for a tattoo. Don't even give it a thought. Do the other rib cage. Dude, as soon as he started, I'm like, oh, no. Like, oh, no.
Just clicked in. Right,
and it's just like 4.5 hours. And he got to say, are you all right? I'm like, no, but it's not going to change.
What am I
going
to do?
Right.
Yeah.
I can't just keep going. This thing sucks, man.
Yeah, I booked it.
And then someone else, finally, kidney stones.
Ooh.
The worst pain, and I did not realize this part, they say the worst pain is when the stone travels from the kidney to the bladder, not coming out of your penis. That's pretty easy.
I got a venereal disease one time when I was 20 years old.
What a venereal disease?
It was like chlamydia or something. Anyway.
So the doctor told you, it's chlamydia something.
I don't know. He just gave me this big-ass shot. I told you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this needle was so big, and it was so deep in my cheek. It was, I mean, I felt like I'd been stabbed with a knife.
Yeah.
And as soon as it goes in, like, everything, like, there's this just this internal numbing, but with pain. I cannot describe the pain. It was just like a deep bone. It was a pain from the inside. It was like it started from the inside and was working its way out.
I feel like they must have updated. Because my brother, who was always attacked by dogs, right? And I've gone through this before, but on 3 different occasions, we took him to the hospital to get a rabies shot, right? That was a standard protocol. And every single time, the same thing, man. It was like a 6-inch needle. And the needle was not flexible. It went into his ass. And then this dude, for like 3 days each time after he got the shot, he could not sit down. So like when we're eating dinner, he's just standing at the table. Mm-hmm. I could not laugh out loud. I follow like it's kind of funny, but if you laugh out loud, I'm killing you, right? Then he couldn't deliver papers because he could barely like twist his body to throw him back in those days and all that, man. I think, Dave, because I
believe
the needles.
I can't believe your brother's never had a dog.
I can't. He's the only person who would get a dog and then be killed by his own dog within a week. It could be a puppy. Dogs hate him.
That might be the worst thing. That might be like his, like for me, it's heights.
Right.
That might be his word, like his, no. Just absolutely not.
Actually, you know what?
No.
My current dog is fine with him.
Yeah.
But that's the only, all of my other dogs have hated him.
Yeah, really? It's a problem if your current dog didn't like him.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this dog.
Your dog likes everybody.
Yeah, for the most part. She's just out there, man. You know what I mean? Like, if she hates you, you got a real problem. She is happy.
Right.
As a very, she's very happy dog.
Right, but the first time you meet her, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and just get as low as I can and be non-threatening. Mm-hmm.
She looks mean. She sounds mean. She's not. So I do appreciate that about her. Like I said, she's a good watchdog. Right. If you don't know her, it sounds like she's going to rip your face off. She's not. She might lick you to death, but she ain't going to bite anybody.
What was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-ROCK.
Except maybe my brother. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Suck up on it.
Hola.
All right. So you've always heard tell that shingles are kind of painful. Well, I was in the medical field for a bit about 20 years ago and had a gal come in with shingles on her face. She's about 60 years old. And so I was checking her facial nerves and doing sensation. And I brushed just by where it was. And after about a second, she starts going, ah, ah. And then after about 4 or 5 seconds, she says, ah, ah. And then finally, she's full on screaming and then, ow. It's the back of the pillow and just I'm like, holy crap, that's impressive. Next thing I know, there are about six nurses running into the room. Yeah, I flatlined her for about 3-4 seconds.
So she literally passed that. You brushed the spot where the shingles were. That yes. Pain escalated to the point that she couldn't take it anymore and passed out?
Not only passed out, her heart stopped beating.
Oh, my God!
3-4 seconds. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, the nurses asked me to not come back.
No! I mean, an honest mistake, man.
I can tell you this, man. Really? That second shingles shot I had kicked my ass.
Yeah, you kind of went down
I was
the flames.
Like, oh
on that.
Man, I had no idea. Did not read the instructions.
Was it bad print or the instructions themselves?
I don't know.
You didn't read it.
I wasn't supposed to go to work. I don't think that day. I didn't know.
Not that bad, but I had to get. What was it last year? I had to get TB
probably.
Booster yeah. or not booster,
whatever it is. Right.
Sorry, my brain's not working. But right, because I just hadn't done it. And they were like, when's the last time you had
it? I remember you bringing that up, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know, I guess I'll take one. But yeah, that actually hurts. Like, my arm is dead.
Was it TB or tetanus?
Tetanus.
Tetanus.
Yeah, the tetanus one.
Yeah, TB, I hope you're up to date on that one.
I hurt
TB is on my mind. I'm trying to get my dad into a facility. Every time, every 30 days, he's getting into a new one. And they're always like, you got to get a TB test. I'm like, what is with the TB test? But I guess it's very contagious for older, sick people.
Okay. All right.
When I ended up getting this scar on my hand from running a razor blade across my hand, which also hurt like a mother, they sent me up to the hospital, the clinic, I should say, to get a tetanus shot as well. I don't remember it hurting that bad. I thought he just pinched the ever living out of my arm when he did it, but no.
Well, you're just tougher than Ted.
Maybe, but it hurt like crazy, man.
They used to punch us in the shoulder, Mike.
What?
With this, like, it looked like a ring.
Oh, yeah.
Looked like a ring pop, right? And it had probably six or seven really big needles on it.
It was your booster shots. They did it in school.
It was all in one shot. So yep. Basically just lined you up, somebody zapped right on the shoulder. I mean, you just went down.
Right. Give my, you're a down. Child, an adult. Mm-hmm. One, they're already just punching you in the shoulder.
See, you had
and
to,
then at the end of yeah. it were all these needles. It sucked.
You had to be immunized, you see,
right.
to go to school to play sure. sports.
I'm pretty sure my old man has a scar from something like that.
That was when they
did too.
That was yeah. back in the communist days.
It depends how old you are, whether or not you have the vaccine.
Oh, you do
scar.
Have that. Yeah, it's like a little.
Yeah, but at some point it ends. Like, I saw my kids when they got vaccinated. I'm like, that's it.
Right.
Man, I remember this sucking a lot. I know this sounds terrible, but deep down, as a parent, there are certain things you do want your mm-hmm. kids to suffer through as much as you do. Not life in general, not financial hardship, but when it comes to physical pain at the doctor, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want you to know the big needle.
Well, chicken,
get the big needle.
Unlike COVID, chickenpox wasn't something that necessarily would kill you. It was very inconvenient. It sucked. I remember it distinctly as far as being bad. Obviously, before a vaccine comes out, you know, you can't get immunized by a COVID party. But back right. in the day, if you had chickenpox, your parents made sure to throw a virus party so everybody would get it at the
but
same
they
time.
Didn't tell you.
They didn't tell you it was going to be a virus party.
Right. When I found out you could get immunized for chickenpox, I was like, what?
Kiss no,
it
no, after no, two no, days. No, that's what I'm saying.
That sucks.
No, it yeah. made me mad. And mm-hmm. I know that makes me a terrible parent, but I did not know this until I had kids. And so I'm asking, you know, the future questions like, hey, man, is it still a good idea to, you know, send them to some weird play date when there's chickenpox? Doctor's like, chickenpox? Like, what is it, 1800s? I'm like, what are you talking about, man? And he's like, listen, we got a vaccine against it. And I'm like, F that.
Yeah.
I want them to have to go. That's crap, man.
Not only that, but I'll tell you more. So kids these days, they get every day off. It's amazing. It's crazy. If we got a day off for like a snowstorm, we'd have to go the day after Labor Day. We have to come back on Tuesday to make up every single day that we missed.
They still try to do that, but the parents will stop sending the kids.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the whole argument with regular, when you're smoking meats? Like the pellet stuff, the Traegers are great. But there's just the old school guys who are like, you didn't spend 8 hours.
I know. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's not going to taste good.
Yeah, whippersnappers.
Damn you, technology. What was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Fritz. Welcome to the men's room.
It's spring break now.
Hola.
Hola.
Real quick question. If I show up on Friday for fuel, can I just have Mike check my oil? Pachunk.
I say yes.
Sure,
speaking
whatever.
Speaking on behalf of Mike, absolutely.
I can't do anything with it, but sure.
He can check
nice.
It.
Nice. All right, anybody shave their heads in there with a razor?
Yeah. Yep.
Not with a razor. Okay. I just buzz mine.
Shave it with one hand, like you got one hand more dominant?
Generally, yeah.
All right. Taking a hot shower. Fresh razor. You know what that feels like, right? I don't use a mirror. Got the technique down. Nice hot shower. I'm going for it. Feeling really good. Shake it out, and I lance my nipple.
When you're shaking the razor?
Oh, no. No, you cut your nipple off.
Sliced it right open like a fish.
Oh man. How long does that bleed?
Oh, I'm holding my nipples now.
Well, the second part is when you turn around to rinse it off because you want to see what you're doing and the water hits it, right?
Ooh.
So you let it heal for a couple days, feeling pretty confident. You switch hands. You figure you got to change your technique a little bit. Same razor. A couple days later, using the other hand, nice hot shower, shake it out. Lance the other nipple.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a long week.
Yeah. How long does it take your nipples to heal?
Oh, that's 2 weeks right there. And whether or not you put on a Band-Aid or anything, it doesn't matter.
I mean, but what about like showering would hurt with ripped up nipples.
I just wouldn't want, like, did you put something over your nipples so like your shirt doesn't stick to them when they inevitably bleed through the course of the day?
Yeah, you can try doing that, and in the end, nothing is going to help that thing feel any faster.
Now, did other people notice that your nipples are bleeding? Like, if you go to work, they're like, dude, you got red spots on your shirt.
So at the time, I was working law enforcement, so I wore a vest. And you can imagine walking around with that thing. I did not have.
Sorry, man. I'm just imagining.
I did not have a lot of sensitivity after a while. I can't even put it out of my mind. It was an amazing experience. I just hope it never happens to anybody.
Yeah, okay. I'm just imagining a cop walking up to give me a ticket for speeding. His nipples are bleeding.
Like, officer, I'm not trying to get into personal. Your nipples are bleeding, man.
You go watch a marathon.
Yeah. I just ran a marathon.
Go watch a marathon and sit on the route about mile 18. All you'll see is like sad bleeding nipples from everybody. I mean, unless
I've done it for years, I didn't work out. And then when I first started, I would just do cardio, and my nipples would bleed all the time.
Constantly. Then they chafe.
Well, and I think it helps a lot.
I had to tape my nipples when I was on those half marathons. I'd take duct tape and tape my nipples up.
Don't they make specific like goo you can put on and Band-Aids?
It's just easier to duct tape them. Instead of having like this gooey gel.
You think it's easier to duct tape everything?
Come on, man.
Well, what about pasties?
I got too much hair for that.
You got a gel on your nipples. You know, it's like your nipples are all
what loose. Kind of gel? Is it nipple gel? Is it like Vaseline?
It's like a nipple cream. So I'd rather just have them absolutely taped up. That way, there's no way. There's no way. Nothing's going to get to them.
I'd buy pasties.
Some kind of tassel, something.
Something. One's a fake Cardi B.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Full coverage.
I would also say, as a sensitive area, and I've told this story before, but I had a buddy that he was really strong. I'll leave it at that. So we were all kind of wrestling, you know, your early 20s, you're drunk, you're wrestling. He picked me up on my underwear, and they snapped. So I had two cuts on the underside of my satchel.
Oh.
And that hurt. I mean, it hurt at the time, but it mainly, I couldn't sit down for like, I want to say a week and a half.
And you're always going to sweat there first, right? I got to imagine you felt every drop of sweat.
It was awful.
Didn't you say you had a coworker working in kitchens who had her nipples pierced and somehow she got over top of her pan or whatever, opened an oven or something?
We didn't know she had pierced nipples, nor did we care, never thought to ask, but the restaurant had just opened and she is working sauté. So when you're working sauté, you also have the ovens, all right? So the oven's been preheating for hours. But again, we have just opened. We're maybe 10 minutes deep. Everyone's kind of, you're just in your zone doing what you got to do. And in my periphery, I see her open the oven, which is not unusual. It's a station she's working. And I mean, she just. We stopped doing what we're doing. We thought she hurt herself, right? We turn around and she has both hands cupped over her boobs. And we're like, what is going on? She goes, both of my nipples are pierced and the heat from the oven hit the metal and the piercings, man. She's like basically just like lit my nipples on fire from the inside. I'm like, let's switch stations for the day and figure this out.
Or go to the bathroom.
Yeah, man.
What was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Okay, so I'm 23. I'm in college. I have a girlfriend at the time. I'm playing baseball. That'll come up later. We're getting down and dirty. You know, I'm getting it from behind. I'm feeling like a champ. And I must have been going a little too hard because I went at it pretty good, and my right nut got in between my hip and her butt bone, and it smashed that thing.
Did it just come to an end?
Well, I must have been. I mean, she had a big booty, so I must have been getting it pretty good. But it, when it happened, I knew I got it good, but I didn't feel a thing.
Right.
And I'm going, okay, well, maybe I lucked out. You know, I'm a lucky guy, you know. So I'm going to baseball practice. It's 5 a.m. workouts. And I wake up and I put on my underwear, and that thing is the size of an apple.
Oh.
And I'm a catcher. So I got to put on a cup.
Oh no!
And this is community college baseball.
What did you get? Did you have to flip it upside down to get it in there?
Oh no! As soon as I put that thing on, I go, "There's no way this thing's moving."
No, not a bike. I mean, not a bike cup.
No,
not that style. It's not meant for that.
Right?
Style.
No, and I mean, you're on a baseball team with 50 other guys, and you know, you're there's no way I'm crouching behind that thing and taking fastballs in the dirt. And I'm not moving. So the worst part about it is every time it hits the breeze, it hits your leg, it feels like you just got kicked.
Right.
And that throw-up feeling is just brutal. So I told my coach I got hit, you know, when I was catching. And he's looking at me weird going, there's only two catchers and you catch. And I've seen you and I haven't seen you get hit. And I'm going, oh, you know, so he let it go. When I went to the ER, you know, I go in, I waddle in real slow, and I tell them, you know, what happened, and she just starts laughing, laughing right in my face. And she goes, no, seriously, what happened? I go, I got hit in the testicle. So the worst part is that they don't know what happened. So if you have a ruptured testicle, and they didn't tell me this till they get me back, but it's an immediate surgery. So...
Yeah.
They're worried that, you know, something wrapped around my testicle and it's swollen and they're going to have to remove it.
I'll be yeah, they're wrapped trying to make sure basically
it's not contorted to the point where you might lose it.
It loses its circulation.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So I didn't realize.
They call that the dead ball foul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've never had an ultrasound before. And if you ever have, I didn't realize the gel is warm. So I'm laying down. And she's pulling my member up towards, you know, my belly, and she's rubbing me down with, like, warm gel. But in an ultrasound, they have to push pretty good.
Oh, and right, right. Ah.
It was brutal. Oh. Just absolutely brutal.
I bet it was. Yeah.
So, anyway, I thought I got away with one, but I didn't.
And you haven't had sex since then.
Yeah, exactly.
How long before you felt comfortable going back into the bedroom?
You know, what's funny is that it didn't swell up for, you know, probably like 12 hours. So, you know, I'm a young guy, you know, so we went at it the morning before practice and it just didn't, I mean, two strokes and you're like, no, something's wrong. I got to go. So, you know, we immediately went to the emergency room.
If something happens to your testicles, go to the emergency room.
Hell of baseball.
Good Lord, man. I almost closed my, basically just wanted to take a dump, a little warm in the house, didn't realize I'm hanging a little lower than usual, and almost dropped the seat on my bees. But I seriously thought about it when I'm sitting there. I'm like, it's like 3 in the morning, mm-hmm. You're tired as hell, and all I can think is, oh my God, I almost crushed my testicles under the toilet seat with my full body weight about to come down.
My buddy Matt, he was my roommate. He was a bigger guy. The way the toilet was... The pedestal to the sink was right beside, like the cabinet was right beside the toilet.
All right.
And then right beside that was the shower. So it was a small area where you had to use the thing. So we would always keep the spare toilet paper, because there was really no room for a roll to be anyplace, behind you, up on top, you know, like there's a little shelf up there.
All right.
So he runs out of toilet paper, and the way he describes it, he goes to turn, but as his weight switches.
Oh, no.
The seat, how it's, you know, like when the lug nuts get a little bit loose in the back, where you have to... It shifted the whole seat over.
Oh, my God.
To the point where it then flattened out.
Oh, and he's still sitting on it?
And his man was in between the gap when he turned, and apparently it just, and all his weight came down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. was like, oh, dude, that's horrible.
Well, it was way more painful than you thought it was going to be. 206-421-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Biggest rock festival in the world. It's back. Hey, the grass. Three big days, Labor Day weekend. A lot of people are talking about wanting to see Sammy Hagar in the Circle for the first time.
Yes, indeed.
Pretty good buzz on Alice in Chains coming back to town. Of course, the entire weekend kicks off Friday with Incubus and Sublime with Rome. And guess what? We have the Men's Room happy hour and a half all 3 days.
Correct. Yeah.
So if you want to go to a couple of those days, maybe you're joining us for all three. Either way, jump in one time for the Men's Room happy hour and a half party.
Yeah.
Throw down, drink some beers. Hopefully we can trade some drugs under the table. All the good stuff that happens. All those ticket packages on sale now at KISW.com. All things pain in the grass. Our question, what was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-ROCK.
Someone brought this up earlier, and I think they nailed it. Anyone who's had this experience knows it to be true. Stepping on a Lego. I'd always heard that stepping on a Lego sucks, and I never gave it much thought. I'm like, what kind of candy ass to say that? Then I had kids, and kids inevitably leave Legos on the hardwood floor. And you don't realize that as you're walking to the light switch. And then my first, hey, I stepped on a Lego, was one of the first times I absolutely exploded at the kids about cleaning up their mess.
See, I know if you stub your toe, the injury can last a lot longer, depending on the damage you do. So that has a potential, like turf toe, to be something that's really problematic for a long time. Seems like anytime you have anything with your feet, like a plantar issue, it takes forever to heal. Mine, though, as far as the amount of pain initially, is not stepping on something. It's not stubbing the toe. It's the shin to the corner of the bed.
Oh, God,
it's the shin shot. For whatever reason.
Shin hurts bad.
That's the one that I'm just like, I'm down. I'm like, oh, no, not the shin.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it's the shin, I'm just like, oh, God, this is gonna hang on for a while.
I think if I could redesign the human body, the first two upgrades I'd make for all human beings, our shins would be armored or there'd be no nerve endings, right?
Because you're going to catch her.
It's inevitable you're going to hit them. The other, for men everywhere, is we would have an armor plating around our testicles like an armadillo. Because they can't, I mean, anything that goes wrong with them is crippling, right?
I think I'd redesign the knee.
The knee? Well, how would you redesign the knee?
I don't know. I know a lot of people that have knee injuries.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, they can bend both ways naturally.
Like when you watch sports, right? Like, especially, let's say you're watching NFL football. You'll see a dude get blown up, and you're like, ooh, that hurt.
Sure.
But I don't know about you guys. Whenever I see somebody make a move, and, like, it's a non-contact injury.
And they just hyperextend something.
Right, you're almost like, oh, that's worse.
Because they crumple different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they really do, man. When you crumple, like you said, no contact, as these guys are making a cut in the backfield. And then, of course, in case you missed it, we're going to slow it down. And watch the moment his knee pops out so that you can feel real, real, real uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Robert. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, about 15 years ago, had a brain tumor. And go to the doctor, and they like, we need to put 24 karat gold BBs in your head. Like, okay, so no big deal. We're going to come in, we're going to give you a local, and like, all righty. So I drive up to Seattle. I get in there, and he gives me the local, and that's all right. And give it a couple minutes, and you can feel him, you know, cut my scalp, and that didn't hurt, that's okay. Put the little spreader thing in there, feel it moving apart. Yeah, that's okay. It doesn't hurt. Make sure you feel weird, but that's okay. Then I hear a drill. I'm like, yeah. Fine. He drills a hole. I swear, I thought he was drilling from the top of my head to my belly button. And he goes, well, yeah, you have nerve endings in your skull. The only reason you're not going to feel it is if we knock you out. I'm like, why am I awake?
Right, yeah.
Why were you awake?
Because he said it's no big deal.
Oh,
well, not to him. His head's not open.
Yeah. Well, and then the feet, the BB and the hole are the same size. And, you know, so all of a sudden he's got this little thing that he smacks the BB into my skull, which is like driving a nail into your skull. I'm like, oh.
So how many of those did you have to have?
Three.
And what do they do? What is the purpose of these gold BBs in your head?
They were for targeting the tumor, so they did a bunch of stuff so they knew exactly where they're at. and then it's three-way triangulation.
Okay.
You know, the second one, I don't remember, but by the time he got to the third one, you know what's coming. And I'm ducking and diving. Doctor, like, you got to be still. I'm like, no, I don't want to be still because I know this is really, really, really going to hurt.
Yeah, doctors like to tell you to be still a lot in spite of the situation that you're in.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Like, you're about to set a bone in my leg. I have a hard time. I'm trying to cooperate, but you have to understand my human reaction is to squirm, bro. You know what I mean? This isn't not normal stuff.
One of my drinking buddies in Pasadena and around the county, my buddy Chuck, he had prostate cancer. So he'd been going through all kinds of different treatments, but he was in good spirits and everything. So they go to Hopkins, and Hopkins had this experimental treatment where they took these radioactive seeds and kind of surrounded the prostate, put them in the prostate. Mm-hmm. But either way, he would pass them every once in a while. And he said it sounded like glass or like a BB. That's what
right.
Maybe think of this hitting the toilet. So we're in a bar one night, and he goes to the bathroom, and he comes back out, man, and he's like bent over like a hobbit. Like, he's walking like the Hunchback in Notre Dame. I'm like, Chuck, man, because I knew he wouldn't talk a lot about stuff.
Sure.
I knew he was going through treatment and stuff, but it didn't seem to bother him as a person. So I never really top of mind that, oh, yeah, Chuck's got cancer. You know, that was never really part of the conversation. He's been over. I'm like, dude, what happened? He's like, man, I just passed a radioactive urinal, and he's like, my whole thing's on fire, man. It's like someone took a torch and burned my whole unit. I'm like, oh, he's like, yeah, it's so hot when it comes out.
Oh, God.
It's like you can feel the temperature of it. I was like, get out of here. I was like, no. And I was like, and it's just sitting back there in the urinal, this radioactive trough. That's right. Did you flush it? You know what I mean? Can I see it if I walk in there? What does it look like? What was way more painful than you thought it was going
to
be?
You went in there to track it down, didn't you?
No, I didn't. He's like, no, I flushed it. I was like, all right. Like, that doesn't sound cool.
Hello, Elise. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
All right. So about a couple years ago, when I was a junior in high school, unfortunately, after a roller skating accident, I broke both bones in my ankle as well as dislocating it all at the same time, which wasn't the worst part of it. So I go to the hospital, and they confirm that I need to get surgery. They're like, before we do surgery, the swelling has to go down. So you have two options. First option, we can do surgery today. We'll basically put pins and this contraption around your leg to keep everything in place while the swelling goes down before surgery. Or we can put your leg in a splint. I chose the splint because I thought that was the lesser of two evils. Unfortunately, I was very, very wrong because it consisted of them having to basically undislocate my ankle.
Ooh.
So, which consisted of they gave me a shot that did nothing to numb the pain. It just made everything tingle, which added a whole new weird sensation on top of everything. And I spent 30 minutes laying back as two male nurses stood over top of me, basically using all their strength to push and pull on my bones, trying to get my leg into a place that could go into the splint. And I remember just like holding my mom's hand. I'm squeezing so hard, and I just hear her say, Megan, you're going to break my hand. I'm like, I don't care because I am in so much pain. And then it ended up not even working. They weren't able to do it to get it into the splint. So they're like, well, all this trouble, we're going to still have to do the surgery.
How long did that process last?
It felt like 30 minutes. I think it was 30 minutes. It felt like it was like an hour. And I am just like, I'm just trying to like go through. I'm biting the inside of my mouth. I'm like, I'm not going to scream. And I look over to my mom, and she's like crying. And I look at her, and I'm like, why are you crying? You're not getting your leg mangled right now.
Probably because you're breaking her damn hand.
Yeah.
I will say, I did not break my ankle nearly as severe as her. And luckily, I just ended up chipping the bone as it was. But I'm like in seventh grade when this happened. But we go to the hospital. You're in the waiting room. And I did not realize that where they set bones, those particular rooms were soundproof. And I just remember the doctor, he opened the door. He's not like running out frantically, but kind of jogging. He's in a hurry, but it's not like an emergency. But I remember this door opens, but as soon as the door cracked at all, I hear someone screaming, right? I mean, blood curdling, top of the, and when the door shut, it was dead silent again. The doctor comes back maybe 20 seconds later, opens the door. Dude who's in there is still screaming. The door shuts again. And my father looked at me and said, if they have to set your bone, that's going to be you. And I just sat there for like 2 hours, terrified. Oh. Because like you hear the scream, and again, you're like, man, that's such obvious pain, like deep, deep, true anguish pain. Luckily for me, it was not that bad.
My buddy Pat, we played tackle football. And this is the weird one. I think, because I've broken a lot of bones, but nothing that was crazy, but it just, it hurts. It hurts a lot.
Yeah.
But my buddy Pat, I wasn't on his team at this point in time. My other buddy, Brian, comes up and hits Pat, hits him in the legs, and flips Pat up into the air. He hits him low. His feet go up in the air. And Pat puts his one hand down on the ground, and the other hand has got the football.
Sure.
In the other hand. When the football hand hits, I don't know what happened to his wrist, but he broke his arm between the wrist and the elbow, and the bone came out of the skin.
Ah!
And it's just flopping.
No.
And Pat holds his hand up, and he looks at it, and he goes, golly, I broke my arm. We looked, and we were like, all of us are just, you know, that level of puking. And he's like, man, look at that. And he's looking in there, he's like, wow. And I'm just like, and he's not even, I would turn white.
Right.
You know, I'd be like, oh, no. And he was like, I didn't even hurt, man. He's like, wow, look at that. And eventually, man, we got to get out of here. So, like, we eventually went and got a parent to take him to the hospital. But it didn't even look like he cared. It was like the more severe the break.
Right. He was just like,
the less the pain involved. I don't know why. Or maybe
shock.
Maybe his tolerance to pain is just through the roof.
I'm hoping it's shock.
But
when you look at your own body, why am I looking at a bone?
And it also seemed to heal faster than any broken bone. Like, he was in a cast for, like, it seemed like 6 to 7 weeks. Wasn't even like a big deal. They put it back, they put pins in it, or whatever the deal was, and he was fine.
Oh, my buddy had that happen to his femur, right? That's the one in your bottom half of
the leg. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, going to a sporting event. It's nighttime. He slips on a patch of ice, goes through his skin. And I mean, he was in, because I saw him a couple weeks later.
Oh, that's right. You saw him in an easy, like a Lazy Boy recliner.
I mean, he was in pain. He was on a couch and like had, like outside of like going to the bathroom, but like we had to take shifts. So I was just back east visiting family. But it was like, I'm going to go see Alex. And then, like, his mom called and was like, okay, like, you're in charge for the next 12 hours. Like, you got to help him to the bathroom, this and that.
I'd be like, I'm not coming over to see him. Everybody needs a break.
Everybody needs time, right? So that's it to the story, right? He's on pain meds. He's dying. Not dying, but he's in a lot of pain. All right, so you know me. I still rip a couple beers, whatever. And then I wake up in the middle of the night because he is screaming. Like, I've never heard anybody scream my name before. And I'm like, what is going on? He's like, sorry, man. You left the window open. It's freezing. I just can't shut it.
Oh. My bad, dude.
Right? I was like, oh, don't sweat it, man.
You still glad I came by? Yeah.
What was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-RUN.
Hello, Mason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, aloha. And how's it, Bitolas?
Hola.
Hola.
Liquor and whores. So many years ago, before I moved here from Hawaii, I fell down skateboarding and had a hairline fracture on one of my ribs. And I remember it hurt for like the first week, and then there's nothing they could do. You can't get a cast or anything, so it's all about pain management. But lo and behold, this past Sunday night, I had some friends over at my house carrying on. I either fell into my barbecue or one of my lawn chairs and fractured my rib, and it is excruciating. I forget how much it hurts.
And then you can't cough, laugh, sneeze, anything.
Cough, laugh, and I drive DoorDash, so going over bump kills.
Oh, ooh, God.
And I just got over, you know, taking 10 days off because I just got over COVID right on Friday. I finally tested negative. I'm like, I miss all this time. I'm going to Hawaii on the 13th for my mom's 80th birthday. I'm like, I got to get back on the stick and make some money, so I'm out here delivering Baconators in some serious pain.
Baconators.
I'll tell you what, though. That would be a heck of a party. I like the way you said, I don't know if I fell in a chair or my barbecue.
Yeah, it had to be a good time.
The lawn chairs make more sense because we had two busted lawn chairs. But anyway.
Mason, let me ask you this. If you're doing the DoorDash thing, have you delivered any of the new Arby's burgers yet?
I have not. No, but I have taken a couple Mexican pizzas from Taco Bell.
Uh-huh. I bet you have.
Yeah,
they're fantastic.
They're good. They're easy. They're cheap, man.
Ted, you got the report? The burger's good.
Yeah, my buddy Brett hit me up today. Yeah, he's like, hey, man, I can confirm. It's good burger.
Oh, you know where there is one? The Snoqualmie Way.
Oh.
Isn't there one out on I-90?
There is one in North Bend.
Yeah, there is.
We looked up Arby's today.
Oh, yeah.
And being in the city, there's right. nothing
yeah,
close.
Yeah, the problem is you're going to be there at 5:30 in the morning. Yeah. So I don't know what time they start.
I was going to say, Arby's probably not like even open until 10:30, 11.
Exactly. I don't know if that's going to work out.
What was way more painful than you thought it was going to be? 206-421-RON.
Hello, Tom. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
This is pretty bad, just because it goes on and on and on. About 13 years ago, had my last child, my daughter, decided to get fixed. And turns out there's something they don't tell you. 1 out of 10 guys has chronic testicular pain for the rest of his life.
Well, they don't tell you that.
And they don't tell you that until you complain. And mm-hmm. then they say, oh, yeah, well, 1 in 10 guys. Well, that's me.
Oh, no.
So you're...
It probably doesn't help that I got it covered by the state.
No, definitely not.
So
definitely
does it?
Not.
So the pain is there, and it's just a numbing, dull pain for 24 hours a day?
So correct. Some days better than others. Obviously, if I'm real active, you catch my drift, it's a little worse.
All right. Do you have any problem with erectile dysfunction because of that?
No, not at all. It's just you get a little too active and it flares up a little.
But what if just masturbation? I mean, are you going to be in pain for that?
Well, you got a little more control with that.
Okay, fair enough. Right. Fair
so
enough.
Basically, you don't need your stepchildren tended as much as you used to.
Correct.
I understand. Yeah.
Wow, man. Right. Yeah, they need to point that out. Like.
Well, there's a lot of pain involved, man. I mean,
no, but I mean, even when I got a surgery, like on my neck, the guy just said, look, I'm going to tell you the possible things that can go wrong, but even said, there's like a 3% chance that this will happen, but if there's a chance, I got to let you know. If there's a 10% chance, like, you might want to run that by me, dog. Yeah, especially when
yours was, you wouldn't be able to talk again, right? Or something weird like that. Like
it's not that you wouldn't be able to talk. He was just like, and the way he was very calm about everything, kind of smiled, and he said, well, the one thing that could go wrong, there's just one particular nerve in the area we're going. We're going to try to avoid that on the off chance that we nick it with the scalpel. And these were his words. The left side of your face will be unparalyzed. And then he adds, and your face will be unsightly.
That's unsightly.
Unsightly. I'm like, Jesus,
Doc, it's already unsightly.
I know. I'm like, no, man, I don't want that. He said, but of course, we'll try not to do that. I'm like, yeah, you try not to do that.
Thanks.
Unsightly. That's his quote.
I feel good about this.
Yeah.
Remember, Jesus. That's why they have a practice.
Exactly. It's not the doctor's perfect.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Last, you are listening to The Men's Room.